spaceship to come as we listen. If you ain't down, you better not hang around.
Bye. is the light which was visible the path of the light of the night.
Words before the song coming up. Yeah, but the songs, but the music is coming in too fast before me. Yeah, but the songs, but the music is coming in too fast before me. Yeah. Beautiful. So, once I raise my hand, that means
let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Okay? No, I gotta put more.
Thank you. 103.5 WCOMLP, Chop Hill Carborough. I'm Furious George. This show may be offensive to some of you in our listening audience. That behind us, let us go forward with the spirit of the evening, that being the important work necessary, still here with 5 days left before Tuesday, November 4th, which will be hopefully the day folks here in North Kakalaki do something that they haven't done in a long time. And you know what I'm talking about. Please get out there. Do what's right. Vote for Mr. Obama. We will appreciate it, especially on next Thursday. We'll have a big dance party. I promise you that. In spirit, I'm going to play some more clips from his show last night and some other stuff. So thanks for listening. This is community-based, micro-powered, volunteer-driven radio. I'm Furious. Oh, yeah. Happy Halloween.
Faced increasingly difficult times. But everywhere I go, despite the economic crisis and war and uncertainty about tomorrow, I still see optimism and hope and strength. We've seen over the last 8 years how decisions by a president can have a profound effect on the course of history and on American lives. But much that's wrong in our country goes back even farther than that. We've been talking about the same problems for decades, and nothing is ever done to solve them. This election's a defining moment, a chance for our leaders to meet the demands of these challenging times and keep faith with our people. For the past 20 months, I've traveled the length of this country, and Michelle and I have met so many Americans who are looking for real and lasting change that makes a difference in their lives. Their stories are American stories, stories that reflect the state of our union. I'd like to introduce you to some of those people tonight. I'll also lay out in specific detail what I'll do as president to restore the long-term health of our economy and our middle class, and how I'll make the decisions to get us there. What struck me most about these stories you'll see tonight is not just the challenges these Americans face, but also their resolve to change this country. Rebecca Johnston is all about her family.
Brian, me, Nathan, Marley, Ethan, Gabriella, Tallulah, and Jake.
The thing I love about being a mom is just that how amazing it is that everything that you do shapes who they are. That's like molding putty in your hands. You just want to make sure you do the right thing every day. And
I need a candle.
10 years ago, she bought a house outside the city so she could send her children to good schools.
Why?
Now, with rising costs, it's getting tight. Her husband, Brian, works at a tire retread plant and needs to stand all day.
He has a torn ACL and meniscus that he walks around with every day. He was going to have the surgery in June, but we couldn't really afford for him to get the disability pay.
So they put off the operation to take care of other things.
This is where our snacks would go. Gabriella, and then Nathan, and then my husband and I, and my daughter, and Ethan, my son. If they know that this is it for them for the whole week, then they will make it last longer. I think everybody feels the same way, that they'd like to see an end in sight to all the worry and the chaos of everyday living. Trying to make ends meet. Okay, how much are we bringing in this week? How much is the car payment?
Hold him, Ethan, hold him!
When roughly can we pay this bill?
All across the country, I've met families just like Rebecca's, getting their kids to school, meeting their mortgage payments, fighting for their families.
It just keeps going up and up and up, and you know, and I can remember a time when I didn't have to worry about this stuff.
We measure the strength of our economy not by the number of billionaires we have or the profits of the Fortune 500, but by whether someone with a good idea can take a risk and start a new business, or whether the waitress who lives on tips can take a day off and look after a sick kid without losing her job. An economy that honors the dignity of work.
Earlier this year, we already knew our country was in trouble. Home foreclosures, lost jobs, high gas prices. We were running a record deficit, and our national debt had never been higher. But then, a little over a month ago, the bottom fell out. What happened in the financial markets was the final verdict on 8 years of failed policies. And we're now going through the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. A few weeks ago, we passed a financial rescue plan. It's a step in the right direction. And as president, I'll ensure that you, the taxpayers, are paid back first. But we also need a rescue plan for the middle class, starting with what we can do right now that will have an immediate effect. As president, here's what I'll do. Cut taxes for every working family making less than $200,000 a year. Give businesses a tax credit for every new employee that they hire right here in the U.S. over the next 2 years. And eliminate tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. Help homeowners who are making a good faith effort to pay their mortgages by freezing foreclosures for 90 days. And just like after 9/11, we'll provide low-cost loans to help small businesses pay their workers and keep their doors open. None of that grows government. It grows the economy and keeps people on the job. This is what we can do right now to restore fairness to the American economy and fulfill our commitments to the American people.
The company I worked for went broke. Before they went down, they used $19 million for the retirement. And when they closed up, I should have gotten about $1,500 a month from retirement. I only ended up with $379 a month.
You earned your pension. You earned it. It wasn't a gift. You gave up wages so that money could be set aside for your retirement. Time and time again, what we're seeing is companies who owe their workers retirements, pensions, shedding those obligations. When you make a commitment to workers at a company, those aren't idle promises. Those are promises that should have the force of law.
Thank you.
Americans, they don't expect government to solve all their problems. They're not looking for a handout. If they're able and willing to work, they should be able to find a job that pays a living wage. They should be able to retire with some dignity and some respect.
Think of this. Barack Obama is going to be a Democrat in the presidency who actually cuts taxes. But he's going to cut taxes for the people who really need a tax cut. He's going to cut taxes for the struggling families. And he's going to do that while holding accountable those companies that take advantage of tax breaks in order to send jobs offshore and to other countries.
I don't know if it's that common sense Midwestern way of getting things done, but Barack Obama has Kansas roots, and he really has a plan to put us back on track and help us move forward.
The challenges before us now are big. What we need are big solutions and big thinking.
And Barack Obama is a problem solver who thinks big. It's a once-in-a-generation kind of leadership, and that's what Barack is offering.
Stewart and his wife Juanita hope to reap the rewards from their working years. Six grown children, seven grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, and a home that they own themselves.
We've lived in this home for 10 years.
A lot of work on this house. I did it myself. That floor down there, I put this floor in this house.
We had our home paid for, so we just knew that retirement would be great.
But with her rheumatoid arthritis and other ailments, their medical bills have been rising.
I take 12 different medications per day. When Larry was working, all of that was covered. When he retired, I did not have medical insurance. And each year, it just got worse, worse, worse.
To meet their payments, they've had to take a loan on their house, and they're losing equity.
Larry is retired a total of 10 years, but five of those years, he had to go back to work.
Associate salesman. In other words, I just sell stuff, that's all. I'm 72 years old, and things are changing.
You just wonder, you know, where am I going from here?
I spoke earlier about some of the immediate actions I'll take to address the economic crisis. We also have to take a longer view. We have to stop just talking about health care reform and lost jobs and energy independence and finally do something about it. All across America, I've seen entrepreneurs and innovators who point the way to a better future, starting with energy independence. Recently, I visited the McKinstry Company in Seattle. They're retrofitting schools and office buildings to make them energy efficient, creating jobs, saving their customers money, reducing carbon emissions, and helping end our dependence on Middle Eastern oil. As president, I'll use companies like McKinstry as a model for the nation. I'll invest $15 billion a year in energy efficiency and renewable sources of energy, like wind, solar, and biofuels, creating 5 million clean energy jobs over the next decade, jobs that pay well and can never be outsourced. And I'll help our auto companies retool so that the fuel-efficient cars of the future are built right here in America. I'll also make it easier for you to afford these new cars with a tax credit so we can get as many on the road as possible. And to further reduce our demand for foreign oil, I'll tap our natural gas reserves, invest in clean coal technology, and expand domestic production of oil. But we know government can't do it all. That's why I'll call on every American to join in conservation efforts. I believe we need to usher in a new era of responsibility, Across the country, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. That's why I'll call on every American to join in conservation efforts. I believe we need to usher in a new era of responsibility. Across the country, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. That's why, for my energy plan, my economic plan, and the other proposals you'll hear tonight, I've offered spending cuts above and beyond their cost. I'll also go through the federal budget, line by line, eliminating programs that don't work, and making the ones we do need work better and cost less. And one of the biggest savings we can make is to change our policy in Iraq.
We're currently spending $10 billion a month in Iraq when they have a $79 billion surplus. It seems to me that if we're going to be strong at home as well as strong abroad, that we've got to look at bringing that war to a close. Spending more in Iraq now than we were spending when the war first started. How many schools would that build? How many hospitals? How many people could get health care? How many college scholarships could we give our youth? It's time for us to invest some of that money right here in America.
When I read his economic plan and I saw the people endorsing it and all the new ideas, Warren Buffett and others, I thought, this is the right plan for America.
Barack has looked at the small business side of the American economy and says, look, that's where most innovation and entrepreneurship is. Let's give them the rocket fuel to really accelerate rather than giving tax cuts to, you know, the Exxon Mobils or big oil companies that need not one ounce of help from government to be very, very successful.
So I'm not worried about CEOs. I'm not worried about corporate lobbyists. I'm not worried about the drug companies or the oil companies or the insurance companies. They'll be fine. They're going to look out for themselves. I'm worried about the couple that's trying to figure out how they're going to retire. I'm worried about the family that's trying to figure out how they can save for their child's college education. I'm worried about the single mom that doesn't have health insurance. I'm worried about the guy who's worked in a plant for 20 years and suddenly sees his job shipped overseas. That's who I'm worried about. That's who I'm going to be fighting for and thinking about every single day that I'm in the White House. Thank you.
Juliana Sanchez is a widow with two children and a mortgage. Her parents, Richard and Francis, were both educators. Like her family, Juliana's devoted her life to giving her daughter, Jessica, and son, Adam, a good education. Every morning, she's up before the sun.
I work in a school for at-risk kids.
Good morning. How are you?
A lot of the families here go through extreme financial hardships.
It's about time we see you. Are you going to stay?
At the end of the school day, her work is only half done.
Come on, baby. Jump in.
She works for a healthcare company taking care of Shelly, a 7-year-old with special needs.
Most of us that are educators, we all have second jobs.
The answer lies in your hands. Effective teaching starts here.
And to advance herself and develop her skills, she takes teacher training classes.
Financially, the pressure is just to keep your head above water so you don't feel like you're drowning all the time. Healthcare, food, electric, gas. It takes out so much out of my paycheck. You go buy a gallon of milk, and you're like going, okay, is it a gallon or a half gallon? What can I afford? You feel like you can't breathe, even though you need to breathe.
Every parent in America wants the same thing, a good education for their child.
No, not me. Wasn't me. Nope.
Responsibility for our children's success.
Piece of shit.
Education policy can replace a parent who's involved in their child's education from day one, who makes sure their children are in school on time, helps them with their homework, and attends those parent-teacher conferences. No government program can turn off the TV set, or put away the video games, or read to your children. My father, you know, I only met him once for a month when I was 10. I probably was shaped more by his absence than his presence. My mother, she said to herself, you know, my son, he's an American and he needs to understand what that means. And she was working full time, so she'd wake me up at 4:30 in the morning. We'd sit there and go through my lessons,
And I used to complain and grumble. You can imagine an 8-year-old kid having to wake up at 4:30. You know, if I grumbled, she'd say, well, this is no picnic for me either, Buster.
Now is not the time for small plans. Now is the time to finally meet our moral obligation, to provide every child a world-class education. I'll invest in early childhood education. I'll recruit an army of new teachers and pay them higher salaries and give them more support. And in exchange, I'll ask for higher standards and more accountability.
We can create schools that work because I've seen them. 3 years ago, only half the high school seniors at the Mapleton School in Thornton, Colorado were accepted to college. But after a rigorous school reform program, this year all 44 seniors were accepted. And under my education plan, those students could get a tax credit to cover their tuition at public colleges and universities in exchange for serving their community or their country. Just as I believe every American should have access to an affordable college education, I also believe every American has a right to affordable health care. In the last year, I've visited many hospitals that are computerizing records and implementing technology that improves patient care and dramatically reduces costs. That's why my health care plan includes improving information technology, requires coverage for preventive care and pre-existing conditions, and lowers health care costs for the typical family by $2,500 a year. And you can keep your same coverage and your same doctor.
My mom passing away was one of the toughest moments of my life. For her to die of cancer so quickly was a shock, and it felt arbitrary. Anybody who's gone through that kind of process knows how difficult it is and heartbreaking it is to see somebody you love go on that path, and it's a lonely path. It was a reminder to me that life sure is short, and you better seize the moment.
I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for President of the United States of America. I'm in this race because I'm tired of talking about the outrage of 47 million people without health insurance. I want to start doing something about it. My mother never saw her grandchildren. That breaks my heart. But you know what also broke my heart? In the last months of her life, she wasn't just thinking about trying to get well. She was spending time reading insurance forms because she had just gotten a new job and the insurance companies were saying maybe there's a pre-existing condition and we don't have to pay your medical bills. So I know what it's like to see a loved one suffer, not just because they're sick, but because of a broken healthcare system. And it's wrong.
He is a lot like his mom. His girls are the only thing that can break him down. He tries to make it a point to have the thing that he does with each of them. And for Malia, it was reading through every single Harry Potter book, and they got through all of them. And that is just so fun to watch, and it's amazing that he doesn't forget anything. And he calls them every night, and he talks for as long as they need to talk. He just always has time for them.
That fundamental belief, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, that makes this country work.
Starting at that speech at the Democratic Convention in Boston ever since, people have noticed that there's a quality in Barack Obama they just don't see in other candidates.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Here's a person who, as a state legislator, was a clear leader in Springfield on so many important issues that really made a difference. He came to Washington, had an impact as soon as he arrived.
He's changed the rules in Washington. Gone are the free gifts from lobbyists. Gone are the fancy airplane rides for nothing. He did that. Now, it wasn't easy. He had to work across party lines. More importantly, he had to fight senior members of the Senate who liked it just fine the way it was.
He came in. Not only reached out, but reached across the aisle to Dick Lugar, one of the leading guys in America for the past 20 years on arms control, to keep loose nukes out of the hands of terrorists. I was amazed. I watched him incisively question a Secretary of State in a nomination process. I remember literally turning to Chris Dodd saying, whoa, this guy's good.
Joe Biden, I think, is one of the finest public servants in this country. It's not just that he has some of the best foreign policy credentials of anybody, but it's also that his entire life, he has never forgotten where he came from. Coming from Scranton, fighting on behalf of working families, remembering what it's like to see his father lose his job and go through a downward spiral economically. He shares my core values and my sense of where the country needs to go.
Thanks for the moon and the stars up above, but most of all, thanks for the family I love.
Look, that little girl's a ballerina. That's what you want to do, ain't it?
I work for Ford Motor Company at the Kentucky Truck Plant. I'm a third generation Ford employee.
When manufacturing spread to towns across America, it brought jobs and a way of life. Working class families could buy their first home and a piece of the American dream. Mark Dowell and his wife Melinda have worked at the local plant for most of their adult lives. Recently, the plant cut back Mark's work to every other week. Now they're struggling to make ends meet.
2409.
His grandfather Harold and father Carl each worked over 30 years and received full retirement benefits.
It was a lot better time back then. People felt like they had security in their jobs.
In July, Melinda was laid off after 8 years on the job.
From the day I was born, I've been tied to Ford. So this is all I know.
It's Jay.
Hey, Jay, this is Mark Dowell calling the union. How are you? If a plant shut down here in Louisville, it would just be devastating. People would lose their homes. Restaurants and retail stores would lose business because people wouldn't have the money to shop.
Thanks for your support. All right, bye-bye.
I feel like we're all in the same boat. We all got to pull together, and if we don't, we're going to lose America as we once known it.
As challenging as these times are, we've seen harder times before. My grandfather fought in Patton's army in Europe. My grandmother stayed home working on a bomber assembly line, even though she had a kid to look after. Not only did they defeat fascism, but they lifted themselves up out of a Great Depression. That was their generation's moment. And this is our moment.
I learned at an early age from my grandparents how vital it is to defend liberty. And as Commander-in-Chief, I will never hesitate to protect our country. As President, I'll rebuild our military to meet 21st century challenges. I'll renew the tough, direct diplomacy that can prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons and curb Russian aggression. And I'll refocus our efforts on finishing the fight against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan. And I'll also never forget that when I send our armed forces into battle, I'm sending sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. I still remember a woman I met in Iowa. Her son had shipped out to Iraq 2 weeks earlier. And I had a close friend who was on his way, too.
I'll be praying for you.
Thank you very much.
All right? Okay. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
As a retired general officer from the U.S. Army, it makes a difference to me how a potential commander-in-chief thinks about war and peace. That's what we're looking for in a president, somebody that understands the stakes and has the courage and the judgment to approach them rationally and with a sense of duty to the Constitution and the people of the United States. And that's why I think he's going to be a great president.
Everybody here has got a story. Somewhere you've got parents who said, you know what, maybe I won't go to college, but I know if I work hard, my child will go to college. Everybody here has got a story of somebody who came from another country. They said, maybe my grandchild or my great-grandchild, they'll have opportunity, they'll have freedom. Everybody here has got a story about a grandparent or great-grandparent who worked in a coal mine, who worked in a tough factory, maybe got injured somewhere, but they said, you know what, I may not have a home, but if I work hard enough, someday my child, my grandchild, they'll have a home they can call their own. That's the story of America.
This guy is special because I think he can bring people together because he's a good, decent man that understands the world through his background, that he's a man that can heal this country, that can bring bipartisanship. But there's very unusual, good, positive sides of this man that we need at this juncture in our history.
I'm reminded every single day that I am not a perfect man. I will not be a perfect president. But I can promise you this. I will always tell you what I think and where I stand. I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you when we disagree. And most importantly, I will open the doors of government and ask you to be involved in your own democracy again.
Soldiers who re-enlist after losing a limb.
I've seen it in the faces of the men and women I've met at countless rallies and town halls across the country. Men and women who speak of their struggles, but also of their hopes, of their dreams. I still remember the email that a woman named... Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Sometime after our event, her son nearly went into cardiac arrest. He was diagnosed with a procedure that cost tens of thousands of dollars. Her insurance company refused to pay, and their family didn't have that kind of money. In her email, Robin wrote, I ask only this of you. On the days you feel so tired you can't think of uttering another word to the people, think of us. When those who oppose you have you down, reach deep and fight back harder. Ohio, that's what hope is. That thing inside us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better is waiting around the bend. That insists there are better days ahead. If we're willing to work for it. If we're willing to shed our fears and our doubts. If we're beside ourselves when we're tired, when we're worn out, and we come back fighting harder. Hope. That's what kept some of our parents and grandparents going when times were tough. What led them to say, maybe I can't go to college, but if I save a little bit each week, my child can go to college. Maybe I can't have my own business, but if I work really hard, my child can open one of her own. Hope. It's what led immigrants from distant lands to come to these shores against great odds and carve a new life for their families in America. What led those who couldn't vote to march and organize and stand for freedom? That led them to cry out, it may look dark tonight, but if I hold on to hope, tomorrow will be brighter. That's what this election's about. That's the choice we face right now.
WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carver. I'm furious. We've been listening there to some clips about Obama, and hopefully everybody's out there listening who you've already voted. If not, get out there. There's still time. I'll be back next week. Stick around. More micro-powered radio coming up.
And keep me out of here because I got to pay my band.